Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. In our recent episode of planning my spring garden, I announced that I wasn't going to grow zucchinis this year, which just absolutely shocked Elise completely because she thinks they're such a fabulous crop. And heaps more of you think it's a great crop as well because we've had so many requests for a zucchini episode. So here it is. Today we're talking about zucchinis. Elise, tell us why you love growing zucchinis.
Second to tomatoes. These are crack for gardeners because we plant one plant. This is one seedling, one seed, one plant that we are bringing to fruition, and it's just going to give you so many zucchinis. I agree they're not the most versatile veg. Sorry, they're not everyone's favorite vegetable, as we've seen from listener discussion on social media this week, but they are incredibly versatile and I have got very creative with ways to use zucchini. If we're growing food purely from the perspective of creating nutritious food for us at the cheapest price, growing a zucchini plant cannot be beaten.
That is a very good point. It is a prolific grower, the old zucchini, and it comes out of one seed, which is fabulous, or, you know, you chuck a couple in and whichever germinates, but you get heaps.
I am a really big fan, especially for beginners, of something that is just one plant to manage rather than lettuces or beans that you have multiple plants to keep going. I mean, I suppose there are downsides to that, right? Because if this plant goes shit, then there's no backup.
Yeah.
But I do think they are very easy, very prolific. So, you know, for a beginner, what more could we want?
We had someone on social media say to us this week that they love zucchinis for zoodles. Zoodles?
Zoodles. Noodles with a Z.
Yeah. Zucchini noodles.
Yeah.
So at the end of this episode, I'd love to hear your favourite ways to cook and eat zucchinis. And maybe you can entice me, but probably not, truth be told. I gave it a solid crack last year.
Yeah, you did.
And I think because I've given it a crack, who knows, I might surprise listeners with far more insights into growing the old zucchini in this episode.
Imagine if you had 2 years under you. Oh, actually, yeah, that's true. Because a lot of the episodes we do, you haven't grown that crop before.
No, but this one I've done.
Yes, I think this is going to be great. Okay, well, let's get into it, shall we?
Sure. Let's start where we always start. Yep. What are we growing from? A seed or a seedling?
I am happy for either.
Happy for either.
I think seeds are very easy to grow zucchinis from. You can get some great varieties in seeds. But having said that, seedlings are fine, great, readily available. So whatever works for you.
I mean, I grew from seed last year and it worked. So if that gives people some perspective on how easy it is to grow from seed, dead easy for the old zucchini. Yep. And I grew it in one of those, what's the name of those pots that you put straight in?
Oh, the coconut core or like any kind of, they're made of different materials.
Yeah, so it's like a little pot that's biodegradable.
Yeah.
So you put your soil in there and then you put the whole biodegradable pot in your mini greenhouse or wherever you're starting your seeds.
Mm.
And then you take your entire pot and put it in the ground when it's time, which is so easy.
So easy. And actually for zucchinis, they don't love being transplanted. So as much as I say seedlings are fine, I think zucchinis are pretty resilient. But if we're going for gold standard here, they actually don't want to be transplanted. But doing it the way you just said, because we're planting the entire pot in the ground and then letting it grow from there, the zucchini doesn't think it ever was transplanted. Mm. So for anything in the cumbert family, pumpkins, cucumbers, zucchinis, that would be, if you've got any form of biodegradable pots, that would 100% be the best way to do it.
I'm sure I did it that way because you recommended it to me last year. I wouldn't have come up with that myself.
Well, maybe you just randomly nailed it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a big one for kind of doing what's convenient in the garden. I said, I think on last week's episode, that I'm going to buy my tomato seedlings this year. But zucchinis, I always grow from seed just because they're so easy, like you say.
Mm.
Should we talk about the varieties? Because obviously growing from seed, we're going to have a lot more choices.
Yes, yes, please. Do you get, like the tomatoes, do you get a whole bunch of different varieties at the nursery?
No.
Okay.
So with the zucchinis at the nursery, my experience has been you're going to get your standard what's called a black zucchini. This will be the ones that you've bought at the supermarket. They're not black, but they're quite dark green.
Not black. It's deceptive.
It is deceptive. But when you start growing zucchinis and you see the variety available, relatively speaking, they are very dark.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be either what's called a black beauty or a black jack. That's all you're going to buy.
At the nursery.
At the nursery. In my experience, these are the most prolific mm-hmm. of all the available zucchinis. So if you're going simply bang for buck, max food, that's what you're going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the other varieties because I think they've got a lot more flavor, a lot more interest. So I usually grow one or two of the black beauties or the black jacks and then some of the other fun varieties. Just to be clear though, most of you at home are only going to grow one or two zucchinis because they're huge.
They're quite big.
Yeah. So I grow four, but that's obscene.
Yeah.
I mean, also my chickens love zucchini. So for me, I'm like, if worst case scenario, I mean, I always give zucchinis to people, but, you know, failing that, like I know they're never going to be wasted. But four zucchinis is, I feel like you could feed 10 people all summer.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So if you're going to buy the seedling, you're going to be restricted. If you're going with the seed, let me tell you about two of my favorites. The golden zucchini that you grew last year.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of this one. I feel like it's a bit more subtle flavored or neutral flavored, which can mean that it kind of does better in, you can use it in more ways.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
I don't know. It just tasted bland to me. So.
Well, I'm seeing bland as a good thing because I'm like, you can just use it to bulk out whatever you're cooking.
Yeah, put them in, I don't know, curries or whatever. So yeah. I did two things with my zucchinis last year. So I put them in little zucchini muffins and I also just steamed them up. And as a steamed veggie, the golden zucchini, it's lacking in a little bit of flavor.
Mm. Yeah. I think what is really nice about the golden, if you do some kind of like veggie medley or roast with it and you've got some of the black ones and the golden ones and then there's like a light green one.
And they look cool. They look interesting cool. And that's fun. Love that in all the different varieties.
That goes a long way. So I think golden is another option. It grows the same way as black beauty or black jack. Like it's very simple. The last one I'm going to suggest, which I'm a big fan of, but it's a little bit different, is the tromaccino.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Tromaccino. It sounds like trombone because it looks like a trombone.
Oh, that's an easy way to remember it.
It is. It grows literally up to a meter long. Probably most of them don't get that long. Probably 40, 50 centimeters long. And then the end curves around like the end of a trombone.
Mm-hmm.
So they're huge for one, which is fun. They're a light green color. I think the flavor is really good. Like as far as flavor goes, it's actually my pick of all the zucchinis I've ever grown or eaten. And it grows in a trailing way. So if we want to get our zucchinis up off the ground, if we've got like a fence to grow them on, we can grow them up there, which is very unusual because the rest of the zucchinis, they grow like a big bush.
Yes, it's a big bush. But what shocked me last year was there was kind of one big line or trail that came off. And it actually, the trail can take up quite a bit of room.
Mm.
I had it in a big grow bag and so it trails off. And it does, it sits out on the garden and it can take up a bit of room. So if you're trailing up over something, that's a space saver.
It is. It is a space saver. And there are benefits of growing upwards, like less pests and diseases because you're getting it off the ground. So like slugs and snails, for example, powdery mildew, that is actually reduced by growing it up. Now, interesting your comment about the trailing zucchini, because if you've got a really successful zucchini plant, it will trail in that way. And they can get quite long and big. It's kind of like one main arm and then all the zucchinis keep coming off it. You can stake your zucchini plant.
Okay.
Now this needs a bit of detail and you won't do this until you're getting zucchini fruit. So I'm actually going to suggest we just park that right where it is, come back to it in a couple of months when people would be thinking about staking them.
Great. Love it.
Because there's pros, there's cons, and there's the effort factor. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to that. But that is one thing you can do. With a tromaccino, you would never need to stake it because it's going to climb off its own merry way.
And it's a climber. Like a cucumber is a climber where it'll just attach itself. You don't need to support it.
No, it wants to climb.
Yeah, okay.
Unlike other things, yeah. I would say it's a little bit harder to grow than the other varieties. So if you really have never grown zucchinis, beginner, just stick with the classics. But if you've got something good to train it on or for it to grow up, that's important. Because I think they're really heavy, right? So you can't just use some crappy structure and think this thing. Like this is like growing a passion fruit, really.
Yeah, right.
It needs like a decent structure. The other thing about this, which is we are getting off on a tangent, but it's pretty cool. The tromaccinos, if you leave them on the plant right through summer, what happens is the skin gets thicker and thicker. Now, when we're growing a zucchini, if we don't pick it when we want it, that sometimes happens and it's quite undesirable because the skin's like leathery almost. Mm. But with the tromaccino, I don't know why this zucchini does it when the rest don't. It actually, the skin hardens and hardens and hardens to the point that it turns into a pumpkin. Dead set.
Like actually a pumpkin or a zucchini flavored pumpkin?
Well, it goes the color of a butternut pumpkin.
Oh, really?
It goes that like light orangey brown color.
That's cool.
So looks like a pumpkin, cooks like a pumpkin.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like a long, thin, curved pumpkin.
Very cool.
The other reason why I mention this for being cool, because if you wanted a pumpkin, you could just grow a pumpkin, right? But in the zucchini world, they're really hard and fast in the sense of when that zucchini tells you it's ready, it's ready. So sometimes you might not want four zucchinis that day, but the plant is telling you here are four zucchinis and you're going to eat them this day. So by doing the tromaccino, we can leave them on there until works for us, and then we can actually store them into winter. So if having available, you know, edible produce throughout the year, if that's like a big goal of yours when growing, I would say add a tromaccino into your garden.
And they just store the same way that the pumpkin does in
store
a cool,
the same way.
Cool dark place.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
I also think they're easier to grow than pumpkins. I prefer to grow a tromaccino pumpkin than a pumpkin just because they've got that natural zucchini prolificness. They just, I don't know, they're easy.
This is very cool. I like it a lot.
So there's the varieties you might be growing.
Okay, so can grow from seedling. If you want a few more varieties, you're probably going to have to go to seed.
Yeah.
But it's not that hard growing from seed, so don't be
very
put off
easy.
By it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like I've said, it's for most people, it's going to be one or two plants.
Yes.
I mean, you can say from growing one.
Oh, yeah, they're big boys.
Yeah, there's plenty. So for me, it's four. Obviously, if you've got heaps of room, but you know, two is just going to be heaps of food.
So where are we putting it in the ground?
Full sun.
Full sun, full sun?
Full sun, full sun. This is a fruiting crop again. So I can't think of any fruiting crops that don't need the full sun, full sun. Mm-hmm. This is tomato status, full sun.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to our episode a couple of weeks ago on Tess's Spring Garden, go back and listen to that. But for you, Tess, I would say your north-facing front yard is going to give you best zucchini results. Your south-facing dappled light is not going to do well in the zucchinis.
I had it in the north-facing front yard last year.
And it did well. And yeah, actually, I remember it. It was a monster.
It was a monster.
Mm, it was. So full sun, very, very, very important. We're going to plant them 60 centimetres apart, which actually, given how much food you get off it, is not that much space. Like, I think that's quite modest.
Mm.
60 centimetres minimum. When you plant them out, you need to do it after the last frost if you're in a really cold area like me.
Mm-hmm.
For you in Melbourne, you don't really get frosts, but I would wait until it's warmer than what it is currently. I mean, today's kind of nice, but I feel like we could have a 13 or 14 degree day.
Yeah.
Max.
We're not over it yet.
We're not over it. So listening to this episode, maybe the weather where you are has kind of just hit peak warmness, but I would say for a lot of people, it's not going to be first week of spring planting. Mm. It might be week 3 or 4 of spring before we're going to put it in. It doesn't like the cold.
Mm-hmm.
The other option when you plant it, and I always do this, and I highly recommend it if you can be bothered, is plant it but then put some cover over it. So when I say a cover, just like a plastic cloche, like a plastic bell end.
Yeah, I think some people do it with like a plastic bottle.
Exactly. You can buy them, which is quite handy because then they've got holes to like peg them down. But if you get like a 2-liter juice bottle and juice container, cut that in half and just put that over the seedling.
That'll do the trick too.
It's going to create a little mini greenhouse, and that seedling is going to be protected from the elements and it's going to be warmer. Mm-hmm. So it's going to grow so much faster, give it such a better start in life. Obviously, it adds an effort layer to the process. But like I was saying earlier, if I had to do this for every single lettuce plant or every single bean seedling, I'd get over it. But for two little zucchini seedlings, I think It's not a huge thing.
Yeah.
So cover it. When you then uncover it, you need to kind of take a hardening off approach. So we're back in season one container growing for hardening off, I would think. What you're going to do, you're not just going to take the covering off one day and then never put it back on. You're going to like take it off for a couple of hours, then take it off for a couple of hours more, put it back on, you know, just for a week, kind of warm it up to its climate.
Ease it in too.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Ease it in and make sure when you ease it in, the weather is appropriate for your little zucchini.
Yeah, not your windiest day going around.
Exactly, exactly. Or, you know, when it's still pretty freezing. So remember, like a tomato, it cannot handle really cold weather. Not at all.
Now, I grew mine in the fabric grow bag and it went well. I assume I didn't get lucky. I assume that it's fine in a, if you want to grow in a pot or a fabric grow bag or you want to go straight in the ground, like all those options are fine.
All those options are fine as long as the pot or the grow bag is big enough.
Mm.
So yours was, yeah, but it is going to be quite a decent sized pot or grow bag for mm-hmm. a zucchini. If it's not, your plant, you're only going to get a couple of zucchinis off it and then the plant's kind of going to get stunted at that size and it's not going to grow anymore. So I would say if you can put it in the ground, better. But, you know, for you with that north-facing front garden that you're pot gardening in, the grow bag was perfect.
Yep.
And it was big, but it wasn't unrealistically big for people at home to have a similar size pot.
Yeah, absolutely.
But nothing tiny.
Okie dokie. So we've covered off, we're growing from seed or seedling, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be full sun.
Mm-hmm.
Can be in a pot or in the ground.
Yep.
What do we need to know in terms of caring for the zucchini plant?
Now, slugs and snails are going to be a real problem at the start. So this is early spring or mid-spring. It's still pretty wet and moist. It's not particularly hot. Slugs and snails are out and about. They will kill a zucchini seedling overnight.
They're such jerks.
Such jerks. Although I don't hate them too much because I find they're easier to manage than some of the other pests that I can't get a control over. Like I'd take a slug and a snail over a cabbage moth or butterfly. This is particularly important when the plant is young. Like I've said so many times, once it gets to kind of a critical mass, a slug or a snail isn't going to be able to do much damage to that plant.
Mm-hmm.
But in these early weeks, maybe the first 6 weeks once it goes in the ground, this is going to be an issue. So by covering it, that's going to go a long way for protecting against slugs and snails. That's another benefit of why we cover it early spring. But we've got a whole episode on all the different ways.
So many different options for dealing with slugs and snails. And the kind of the key takeaway for that episode is be ready before you see the slugs and snails. Have like know what you're going to do as a solution and have that solution ready to go. My favorite was, as I have a little coffee percolator at home using the ground coffee. Yeah. I thought that was a good one.
It is a good one. Most of the time.
When I say it was a good one, my plants didn't get taken completely by, so I assume it was good.
Well, then that's success, isn't it? Because often I say don't worry about pests until you've got evidence of pests. But when it comes to this, given that literally overnight a slug can ruin your entire seedling, I would say we need to take a proactive rather than a reactive approach to the slugs and snails. So if I was you, Tess, planting your zucchini, the day you do it, I would have that ring of coffee grounds around the plant.
Yeah. And the coffee grounds for someone who has coffee at home, it's like pretty much zero extra effort.
Yeah. And again, like eggshells, if you've got a lot of eggs, that's another one. Just ring it around. That's the thing, isn't it? It's like whatever option, if you don't drink coffee, this option might be a little more difficult for you, but
it'll be a little bit more painful.
You know, there's going to be an option for everyone.
Yeah, heaps of options. Heaps
so
of
many
options.
But take a proactive approach with this, because if you've nurtured this little seedling in your little greenhouse and then you've planted it out and the slugs ruin it overnight, that is friggin' sad.
It'd be devastating.
It is. It's happened.
Okay. So you've mentioned powdery mildew a couple of times.
I have.
What is it and what do we do about it?
Well, it's a bit contentious, this one. Powdery mildew, if you've grown pumpkins, zucchinis, cucumbers, you'll often see it as like a white film on your leaves. Mm-hmm. I know you had it.
I did.
Last year and we talked about it in some of the episodes. It will eventually kill the plant. It's a fungus. But here's my thoughts on it is the plant is never going to survive once the weather gets cold anyway.
Mm, it's not a stay in the ground all year round.
It's a hard and fast. And it really
goes hard, goes fast.
It goes hard and it goes fast. So by the time the powdery mildew is taking over late autumn, I'm about ready to pull my zucchini plants out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not stressed about it. But we should do some things to reduce it. Look, it's going to come. Like it always comes.
Mm.
But we can slow it down. We can reduce how fast it comes. We don't want it to come in spring and then we've got our whole growing season dealing with this powdery mildew. Mm. We want it to come late autumn, right when we're about to pull the plant out. This goes back to the discussion we had in the strawberries episode about not watering the leaves.
Mm.
Powdery mildew being a fungus is going to be way more prevalent when things are really moist. So when you water, if you water actually the soil and not the leaves, That's going to go a long way to reduce your chances of powdery mildew. Overhead sprinklers, that kind of thing. Obviously, watering your plants is always the most important thing to do, but overhead sprinklers consistently will increase your chances of fungal infections. So soil watering is better.
Mm-hmm.
Mulching around your zucchini plant with straw or pea straw or something like that, even autumn leaves if you've got any, that will keep the moisture in the soil and kind of give it a dry top layer and then stop the moisture kind of hanging out around the leaf.
We're not talking about staking yet because we'll do an episode later in the season, but is staking a kind of an option for this because it keeps the leaves off the ground? And
that is one of the biggest reasons why you would stake. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll 100% lock in that episode for that.
And then same with the tromachino. I find powdery mildew is way less of a problem with that than it is with kind of the ground-dwelling zucchinis.
The ground-dwelling zucchini.
I also think growing a zucchini in a raised garden bed or a grow bag or a big pot does help as well, because you do have that kind of airflow between the ground and the plant. As the plant kind of goes out of the pot or out of the grow bag or out of the raised garden bed, there's like airflow underneath. So this does good things too.
When you see leaves that have powdery mildew on them, do you snip them off?
I do at the start. You will get to a point where you would be taking
off the whole
plant.
You're fighting a losing battle,
but
yeah.
Definitely when you see it early, cut it off and don't put it in your compost bin. Put it in your rubbish bin. Like, get it off your property.
Or your green bin is fine, or your green has to be bin. Rubbish.
I think your green bin. That's someone else's problem, right?
But you're not putting it in your personal compost.
I don't want it in your personal compost. Yeah. No. As much as it is a problem for zucchinis, though, I would say for the most part, unless you really make a mess of it early in the season, it's actually not going to massively impact on the amount of zucchinis. Mm. The other thing is, you know, if it's a dry summer or a wet summer, that's going to make a difference to fungal infections in the garden that's above your control. Look, out of your control, sorry.
And also, if you see powdery mildew, the fruit is still fine.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah, so don't let that put you off.
Yeah. The problem with the powdery mildew is it affects the leaves, and then the leaves end up kind of dying, and then the plant can't photosynthesize and create more fruit. It actually has nothing. There's actually nothing wrong with the plant or the fruit on it.
Yeah.
In that sense.
So don't be put off when you see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Very good point.
So in terms of other care points, watering and additional nutrients that you might need throughout the season?
Like all fruit and crops, it is a heavy feeder. I wouldn't say it's the heaviest of feeders, but, you know, I would give that soil a good top up before you plant your zucchini in. That's going to be the most important thing. Liquid fertilizer with worm tea or like a seaweed emulsion when you plant the seedling when it's young, not essential, but would help.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it a couple of times when it's a seedling just to get it growing. I want it to grow as fast as possible to get it past that danger zone of slugs and snails and different things. So a bit of a liquid fertilizer, not essential. A few people on Instagram have messaged us with questions about their zucchinis over the last few weeks. So I kind of flagged them here because I thought they'd be handy for everyone.
Brilliant. Let's go.
Okay. One lady, lovely lady, said her zucchinis last year looked like little cucumbers, not big zucchinis. Here's my thoughts on this. If the zucchinis look like little cucumbers, you have created a zucchini, which is the first aim, right? I would say there's a few possibilities as to what could be the problem. Possibly you didn't have enough potassium in your soil.
Mm.
I'm like scared to say any NPKs in case I stuff them up again. But basically the macronutrient required for fruiting, if you don't have enough of that, your zucchinis don't have the option to create big fruit.
And the potassium is the same one that you can put on your tomato plants during the,
exactly,
during the summer for fruiting.
Bang on. So what I was actually going to say was, if this is your problem, the easiest way to rectify it is to use any tomato fertilizer on your zucchini.
And when you're using tomato fertilizer, I remember you saying that you kind of water the leaves because it's absorbed through the leaves. Same deal with the zucchinis too?
Same deal with the zucchinis. Okay. Yeah. If this was early in the season, you might add like a granulated or pelletized fertilizer, which is going to be a slow release. But the thing with this is, once we know there's a problem, we don't, because this is a hard and fast plant, we don't have very long to rectify the situation. So I probably would go liquid, water those leaves so they absorb it in, and do that a couple of times, maybe like once a week for 3 weeks or something. And that may be enough to just totally turn your plant around. If this is what happened to you last year, obviously you're not going to be planting your zucchini in the same spot. Crop rotation.
Crop rotation.
Crop rotation. But you might have a bit of a lack of potassium in your garden generally, so you might add a tomato fertilizer around the time you plant them. I would also query if you had enough sun, because we know that full sun is required for good fruit production. So kind of like your tomatoes in your shady area, you got a couple, right, but hardly any.
Yeah.
I would query if it could be the same for this listener's zucchinis.
Full sun.
I didn't ask her if she was growing in a pot, but the other thing could be if there isn't enough space for the plant to get to its full size, that's going to affect the fruit. So if that was the case, get it in something bigger this time.
Okay.
The second issue people have with the old zucchinis is they get no zucchini.
Oh.
What they do get, though, is flowers. Being a fruiting crop, every fruit starts with a flower. We've seen this for our tomatoes again. You know, we get lots of flowers on the plant and then these turn into tomatoes. Same with the zucchinis. So if you're getting lots of zucchini flowers, but you're not getting any zucchinis, what that is a pollination issue. Because each zucchini flower is either a male or a female. They can't make a baby on their own. So unless a bee comes along and spreads pollen from the male flower to the female flower, you won't get any zucchinis.
What's cool about this, knowing this, which you must have told me about last year because I wouldn't have known otherwise, you can actually tell that there are two different types of flowers on your bush. Which is cool.
It is. It is really cool. Once you know what you're looking for on pumpkins and zucchinis, it's very easy to see old mate male flower, old mate female flower. So the female flowers are the ones that will turn into zucchinis, and the male flowers are simply there to provide the pollination. So if you're getting flowers, this says your plant is healthy. It's obviously got enough sun. It's obviously got enough potassium to make flowers, but it is not being pollinated. So you have a pollinator issue.
Mm.
So this comes back to how to encourage more bees into your garden.
Mm.
There are many ways to do this that do not require getting your own beehive. We have a whole episode on it.
We do.
Am I correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay, good. I'll need to check these days. So you need more pollinators in your garden.
So in that episode, we talked about a bunch of different options for attracting bees to your garden to assist with pollination. And it is back in season 3, episode 12. So definitely do go and check that out, because, I mean, it's also just interesting to learn about attracting bees to your garden.
And if you don't have enough bees in your garden, you're going to see this issue across a lot of crops, not just zucchinis.
You need bees for everything.
You need bees. You can hand pollinate your zucchinis by taking Mr. Male and putting him on Miss Female.
So would you, are you plucking Mr. Male and just like jimmying him in there, or?
I've actually never done it, but I think people get a toothbrush and they kind of brush Mr. Male and then they brush Miss Female like a bee kind of would.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, so you can leave Mr. Male on there.
I think so, yeah.
But just find a way to get some of the pollen from Mr. Male into Miss Female.
Yeah. I think this has to be done at certain times of day.
The moon has to be in the right place.
Exactly. If you do this, all power to you. I'm so happy for you. For me, if your garden is at the point that, that you are
like
forcing
IVF-ing
the plant.
Yeah.
If you're IVFing each zucchini, I think we've got a problem. So I've never done it. I would never do it. I suppose the only time this could be relevant is if you're growing in a greenhouse where it's too cold for bees outside, or there's no ability for a bee to get inside or something like that. But even I grow zucchinis in a greenhouse and they have all managed to pollinate themselves. So this to me, if this isn't working for you, we've got an issue.
Yeah.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know.
It's a wooden spoon if you're,
oh,
if you're IVFing your zucchinis.
The only reason I mention it is a lot of people do reference it in like a solution to zucchinis, which to me just blows my mind. So okay. If you're Googling this.
You got a bigger problem. So if you don't have any more questions from our listeners, and listeners, you can always feel free to send us questions.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about harvesting.
Let's. Zucchinis grow at an obscene rate in warm weather. Absolutely obscene. You could see a zucchini one day and think, oh, you're pretty close to being ready. And then 2 days later, the thing's as big as your arm. Zucchinis that you see in supermarkets, right? They're quite small and delicate.
Mm.
If you grow them and don't pick them at that small and delicate stage, they will get friggin' huge.
Oh, yeah, like bigger than your forearm.
Oh, massive, like your thigh.
Your thigh.
Like thigh-sized zucchinis. So the reason I'm mentioning this is the reason we sell them, people sell them at that small size is because that's when they taste the nicest.
Mm.
So they're nice and tender. The skin is thin. As the plant gets bigger, it gets woodier and the skin gets thicker and it's not as nice to eat. My tip with them when harvesting is harvest them often. Like this could be a daily situation of going out there and checking what's hit size and harvesting. The other thing is with harvesting, which we always say with the fruiting crops, is the more you harvest, the more you're forcing that plant to create more.
Mm.
So the more you harvest, the more zucchinis you'll get. If you do go out there, and this happens to me because the garden's such a jungle towards the end of summer that sometimes I don't see the zucchini.
You miss them. Or maybe you just like life's busy or you go away for the weekend or whatever. But
like
what do you do if you miss one?
Yeah, you miss one. It's humongous. I find a pureed soup works really well for this. So it's not a waste.
Mm.
I would say a pureed soup with heaps of curry paste or something like that to really add the flavors. It's just kind of bulking it out at that point. So don't waste it, but it's definitely not. I wouldn't be making your zoodles
with your
massive zucchini. No.
So while we're talking about eating them, I do want to get onto your top, your favorite recipes, but what do you reckon about eating the zucchini flowers and how do you actually as a, because I know it happens in fancy restaurants, you see it, but how do you as a home gardener of zucchinis eat a zucchini flower or know to pluck it at the right time?
Mm. Yeah, good question. They are very fancy and if you buy them, they're very expensive. So as gardeners, you could have a whole zucchini plant that you just pluck the flowers.
Mm.
So when the flower is pollinated, it will start to form a zucchini at its base, a little zucchini, like a little finger-sized zucchini, and the flower is still going to be like attached and looking pretty at that point. I'd say that's the best time to harvest it.
Okay.
So you actually cut off the little finger zucchini as well, and then the flowers on the end. So you'll often see them sold like that. So you are actually getting a little bit of zucchini as well as your flower.
And it just looks like a mini zucchini.
Yeah. And they're actually incredibly flavoursome, like, and tender. And they're really nice to eat. Downside of this is if you keep cutting off the flowers,
and you won't get a big one.
You're never going to get a big zucchini, but they are incredibly delicious and such a delicacy. So I have often harvested some at that point and then put goat cheese and honey in them and then roasted them.
Oh, yum.
Which is very fancy. If you've got as many plants as I do, then it's obviously you can take more. But it's just what you value. Like maybe all you want is the expensive zucchini flowers and you never get a zucchini and that's fine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does that answer how you do it?
Yeah.
So from that, I'm not sure of this, but I'm now guessing that all the zucchini flowers you eat are just the female ones because if they've got a little
zucchini finger
on them.
Yeah.
I actually harvested some last year that looked very pretty. We'll put that photo on social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now what are your favorite ways to eat a zucchini?
This is probably very boring, but this is how I eat most of them. I love thinly slicing them long ways. So they're like long strips and then grilling them in heaps of oil on the barbecue.
Oh, nice one.
And then, making a pasta sauce. So I use the strips of the zucchini, put some garlic and lemon juice, and then usually the same time I've got zucchinis, I've got shitloads of tomatoes. So then I just cook down some fresh tomatoes, some fresh basil, which I've often got, and I call it my summer garden pasta. And it's so full of flavor.
Mm.
And the grilled zucchini makes it taste a lot better. Like steamed zucchini, like you were saying earlier. That sounds a bit shit to me.
Yeah. I like it because it's kind of zoodles, but not zoodles.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I usually do spaghetti with it. Zoodles are great, but to me, they just seem like a bit too healthy. Like I just need a little bit more in there. But this pasta, like I'm not sick of it yet and I make it all the time. And if you even had a modest edible garden, a zucchini plant, a tomato plant and a basil plant is not ridiculous. And you know, maybe you harvested some garlic around November, December, which is when we will in the southern hemisphere, so you've probably got some of that going as well. That goes a long way. Also, by grilling them, they reduce down a lot because you lose the water, so you can actually get through quite a decent chunk of your zucchinis. The pureed soup I do heaps.
That's a great shout for if you leave especially your zucchini
for the big
on
ones,
the
yeah, which like I said on. I always do some Thai curry paste and coconut milk in that.
Nice one.
I find really nice because soups you kind of don't think of as winter, but I find when you do the Asian flavors with them, soups you often do think of as winter, but when you do the Asian flavors with them, it kind of
makes
summers
it up. More, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why that's a thing, but it seems to be. Lastly, you can pickle your zucchinis.
Oh, yes.
Kind of the same way we pickle cucumbers in like a vinegar solution. We can do the same for zucchinis. And then you can use them like pickles in sandwiches.
Yeah.
Or on cheese boards.
Yeah.
So that's, and you can,
salads.
Yeah. And you can do lots of different spices in there. Like, I mean, Google it. There's like a lot of combinations that you would do if you're pickling a cucumber, but then different ones that you would do if you're pickling a zucchini.
Mm.
So that's a really fun way to kind of make the harvest last.
Mm.
Probably the soup and the pasta is where most of mine go.
Mm. Two other things I might add to your list are like a zucchini muffin.
Great.
Which is, I mean, if you if you're trying to hide zucchinis like I am.
If you want to make everyone feel better about eating the muffins.
Yeah.
It's basically a salad. No, it is a really good way to get veggies into you without thinking
about
it.
Yeah, hiding them.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And they're a good snack for, you know, work day, etc.
Neither of us have kids, but I mean, if we did, I'm sure we'd be feeding
them. Probably like them. I don't know. Who knows? People with kids can tell us.
Tell us. Are they going to eat a zucchini muffin?
And zucchini fritters.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I love zucchini fritters. I actually make heaps of them.
Mm.
Great. Julienne your zucchinis. If you've got a food processor.
Just blitz them up.
You are cooking with gas because food processor makes it so easy. And then I just crack in an egg, some flour. I've always got parsley and mint in the garden as well. So I put that through it, fry it up. Friggin' delicious. Breakfast, lunch or dinner.
I'm a huge fan of breakfast for dinner.
Me too.
It's the best.
Eggs on toast, or if I'm being fancy, zucchini fritters and eggs is a common dinner for
me. So fancy.
No, that's a brilliant shout. I mean, there's so many veggies in the garden as well that we can just do that same process, the fritter process with. So it's a great one to have under your belt.
So the big question, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort-reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
This is an interesting one, Tess, because you have actually grown the zucchinis before. So you may be in your most educated position yet to assess. What are we thinking?
Objectively, zucchinis are best on ground.
Mm-hmm.
They're prolific growers. They're great for beginner gardeners. You get a whole lot of produce from just one plant.
And a small amount of space.
There isn't a whole lot you need to do in terms of maintenance, like watching out for the slugs and snails at the beginning, but that's not overly taxing.
Once that's done,
yeah,
you're in the clear. Yeah,
you got to watch out for your zucchinis not getting too big, but if they do, c'est la vie.
If that's the biggest problem you've got, that your zucchinis are growing too fast, I think we're doing well.
So I've made the decision not to grow zucchinis this year because I don't love eating them as much as I love eating other stuff. And I've got limited space, so I need to think about that and factor it into my garden.
Mm.
But everything that we just talked about sounds freaking delicious and I'm starving now. I could smash some zucchini fritters now that we've had this conversation. So, you know.
Maybe we have turned Tess around. Are you regretting your decision? Look, for me, obviously having a lot more space than you, it makes it a lot easier. But if a summer, if a spring, summer, autumn went by and I did not grow a zucchini, I think everyone in my life would be very surprised.
Yeah.
There'd be an intervention had. For me, they're an absolute staple in the garden. I wouldn't be without them. Best on ground, 100%.
Yeah, it's a best on ground for sure.
Yeah.
Rooting for You is hosted by Elise and Tess, artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com. And remember, we are rooting for you.